Hey, everybody, we're the Film Pigs.
Woo!
We're the pigs of film. We are the guys who come to you every month without fail, except when we fail.
Except for last month, yeah.
No, this is it's still July. Let's not, you just say something that's not true enough and it'll be true. It's July.
It's July. We live in a democracy. It's July.
The earth is not on fire. The Olympics are fun.
July.
It's July. My name is Stephen Falk. To my left is Todd Robert Anderson.
Hey, everybody. I'm Todd Robert Anderson. It's great to be here. Thank you.
He's Skype left and Skype right, because we did this in person last time, but now y'all fucked up, and now we're back doing it on the internet.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you people?
That's Steve Skelton.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a mask right now, too, just in case.
Just in case you infect yourself with this Delta.
Just in case COVID can come through the internet now, because we've given it so long to mutate.
Oh, Jesus.
Instead of actually fighting it properly, that it's probably like a lawnmower man at this point.
Oh, my God. It's COVID mnemonic. So scary.
Anyway, so we talk about movies. We like movies.
Why not?
We are shocked by what's... by what's happened to movie going, but we're shocked by a lot of things these days, and we're just going to persevere as if
I am so sad that maybe the last movie I will see in the theater for a long time is Stillwater. Why do I keep going out? Last time I went out on Fantasy Island. This time I'm going out on Stillwater. What the fuck?
I think you were probably better off the first time around.
I think so. Well, listen, guys, we're going to move on and talk about movie news.
What?
This is a news segment. This is a news segment, you guys. We talk about movies. We care about movies. We're interested in movies. We don't dwell on how consolidated the movie industry has been and how it's all shifted to streaming. And we're looking at it as opportunities to see more mid-range movies get made. Not an opportunity to take away our fun of going out to the movies instead of having to watch it at home where our children and lives are. We want to get away from our lives, but that's okay because movie news is still happening. And it's maybe not always in the Marvel universe. Let's see. Todd, do you have anything that's movie news that's not in the Marvel universe?
Oh my God. Because I thought of a Marvel universe story as a backup, I'm so glad that I'm going first, because this is so exciting. Because the trailer for this movie dropped today at the time of this recording. It's called Cop Shop, and it's directed by Joe Carnahan, and it stars Gerard Butler, who's insanely hunting Frank Grillo for the running time of the movie. It's supposed to be insane action mayhem. I'm very excited.
Only the finest Cop stubble shop in Hollywood.
Yeah. And you won't understand what anybody's saying because either their accents are thick or they mumble too much, but it doesn't matter. They have like 5 o'clock shadows and they're going to fight each other. Sounds exciting.
I've seen a number of his movies and there has to be a reason that he's an actor. He could have been a wrestler. I don't know. But I actually don't want to know. I don't want to ever find out why Frank Grillo gets to make movies, because it's certainly not for his abilities. So, is he like a Belarusian prince? I think he's actually a Coppola. I don't want to know.
He's a Coppola, I think.
All right, I'm not going to. Yeah. Okay, we won't talk about it.
Cop Shop. I'm very excited. Steve Skelton.
I was going to talk about Dopey Matt Damon, but that's got a tertiary Marvel Universe connection. So instead, I just want to read the first sentence of this Deadline article about it just says, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, co-creators of South Park, have signed a sweeping renewal with Viacom-CBS that will keep the show on Comedy Central through 2027 and send 14 original movies to Paramount Plus. It's a $900 million deal.
That's insane.
I can't even process that.
Me either.
Let me help you. They're going to make 2 movies a year for the next 7 years while also making a new episode every year of South Park. They're getting
every
paid
week,
900
for how many episodes do they go a season?
I don't know. Who knows? They Viacom sold the back library of South Park to HBO Max last year and then immediately went, "Ruh-roh, we're trying to make Paramount a thing. We just gave away one of our biggest assets. Let's just kind of buy a new asset of the same show." And so they created a future asset in the shape of, you know, 7 seasons and 14 movies. They've done 1 movie in 20 years. Now they're going to make 14 in 7.
We're in the future assets business here at Viacom CBS.
You said $900 million? Is that what
I said that was not a typo. That is the numbers. $900 million.
Wow.
It's supervillain money.
To make cartoons.
Well, and here's the question. Is that inclusive of all the budgets of all seasons of the show and the movies?
And the movies, yeah.
Or are they getting $900 million to do these things, and then they'll have budgets?
I thought that was the deal. I thought it was a literal $900 million.
Either way, they're still making way too much money.
Here's what I like about it. These guys just love what they do, and they're happy. It's like...
I mean, I just meant that in the general sense of, like, that's a ridiculous amount of money for anybody to be making.
No, I know, but I just, it's shocking that, and, you know, I've done 5 seasons of a show, but I would never do 25 seasons of a show. I would be
so bored.
But
if it turned into $1 billion, you wouldn't?
Well,
like, You Are the Worst turns into this crazy franchise that you didn't expect. Like, the way Star Trek was only 3 seasons and it's still a thing and it generates gazillions of dollars.
Yeah.
I would take one of my lieutenants and put them in charge, and I would still
collect...
Of
the You're the Worst cinematic universe?
Yes. I would still collect hella money, but I would not have to work on that same... tell stories with the same fucking characters every week.
Yeah, I get that. I mean,
I'm shocked.
I feel like that's how it works. I mean, I don't feel like Seth MacFarlane is still writing on Family Guy, is he?
Right. No, of course not. He's forcing
us to
listen to his
Star
singing.
Trek pretend Star Trek show.
Yeah, he's gonna do that.
Yeah. Well, my piece of movie news is a really, really nice one. And it's more of a fantasy, and it's not actually going to happen. But Quentin Tarantino says he wants to make a Rambo movie with Adam Driver and Kurt Russell. And he said,
"Wait, where Adam Driver is Rambo and Kurt Russell?"
He said, "I would take David Morrell's novel for First Blood and do the novel, not the movie that was made out of First Blood. I would do the novel, and Kurt Russell would play the sheriff, and Adam Driver would play Rambo. Every time I read it, the dialogue is so fantastic in the novel that you're reading it out loud. It would be so good. But now I want to do more than that. It was just about how to make a good movie, so that's out there. But that I would watch the shit out of that.
Would watch that. Yeah.
That's a Tarantino remake that I totally agree with, conceptually, at least.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it beyond him to fuck it up, but I'm definitely on board for it.
Well, and we probably shouldn't watch it together because then Kurt Russell would die the next morning. Like, What's his name?
Richard Crenna. Yeah.
Richard Crenna. We killed
you
Richard
guys.
Crenna.
Killed Richard Crenna.
We did. I'm sorry.
We did that a bunch of times in a row.
Which leads us to our theme.
Oh my God! What a good segue.
Take a black one. You guys, every month we discuss something going on in the movies. We've ranged on subjects such as thing we talked about one month, and then thing we talked about another month.
Oh my God!
There was that third thing.
The third one was good too, but I think the one in the another month that
we,
was our best. That was our best one.
Here's a different thing that is going to be having us talking about it. And that is Was that a good sentence structure? I think it was.
It was so good. You're such great. I mean, hey, you're the writer.
I love the
word usements you structure.
We're going to talk about actors who died too soon. Now, it doesn't mean that they necessarily died early, but they just died too soon. That we could be talking about Michael Landon. Maybe there was a lot more Highway to Heaven to come out. Maybe there were a lot of Little House on the Prairie.
There wasn't. There
movies.
Was not. Mm. There wasn't.
I don't know. His hair was immaculate. I'm jealous of his hair. He had too much hair. I think that's why he died. He had too much hair for one man.
Too much hair for this world.
Wasn't he like a drunken wife beater guy? Wasn't that his?
Oh role? No, was he? Well, I'm not. He's not my pick. But anyway, I asked the film pigs to each pick three actors, and we'll sort of talk about them one at a time.
I had who to they pick felt five. Died. It was too hard. Three was too little. There's
the
a
numbers.
Lot.
The numbers.
There's
is
a
three.
Lot. Yeah.
The number is three. So we're going to do three, not five. Five is
so
two more. It's really
so
good
strict.
That you know your numbers. But and so we're gonna talk about who they are and what they did that we like so much and what they might. And then we're going to fantasize about what they might be doing were they alive today. Skelton, give me your first.
Oh, my first one is, and this is because I was literally just watching the movie the other night.
Richard Crenna?
On the streaming. Not Richard Crenna, but Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
And I was just, because I was just flipping around and wanted to watch something and started watching The Master. Knowing full well I wasn't going to watch the whole thing. He's like, he's so good in that. And there's, in particular, there's like the scene where he and Joaquin Phoenix, they're doing that first kind of auditing scene where he's interviewing Phoenix and just kind of responding after he's had Phoenix make all the really dangerous booze for him. They're drinking it as well. And then they go through that whole scene back and forth with them. They're both really, really good in it. But Hoffman's like... He's one of those actors who's like his presence was effortless in whatever kind of character he was inhabiting, especially if it was like a really kind of like lots of deeply flawed characters he played, but like the real kind of like a little quirky with also a little bit of threat added in.
And yeah,
that was
definitely
something that is not a lot of other actors have that particular quality. Giamatti sometimes does, Hoffman.
Yeah.
That's my.
Giamatti can do it without the weight too, because in Twister he is so funny in that movie. I thought he was Jack Black for a long time.
Yeah, no, and he's also he's really really funny. And a lot of his earlier roles were the more comedic roles, the supporting roles, and then. Lebowski,
almost
anything he turned
Boogie
up in,
Nights.
He was incredibly interesting.
Magnolia, yeah, Nights, I mean, he was a special one. Even playing Art Howe in Moneyball, he was just sort of a very quiet, still performance. But then even like in The Devil Knows You're Dead, when The Devil Knows You're Dead, and he had a lot of range and And he was a great theater actor. It was just, as he said himself, he was a junkie, and that's a giant tragedy.
That's the tragedy of it all, because like it's not like his career had been stalling or anything, or he wasn't in demand, or that he wasn't going to continue to work for the rest of his life. If he, hadn't, died so soon, he would have been a staple in film for another 20 years.
Yeah, for sure. Being nominated here and there,
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably doing a lot of prestige HBO shows now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, yeah, there'd be definitely be the prestige, whatever. Yeah, yeah, if he was alive today, it would definitely be headlining a prestige show, TV show.
And he'd be in Wes Anderson movies and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Todd, who do you got?
You know, the first one, when you said this, like, the first name that jumped into my head was Anton Yelchin. And
yeah,
I'm going with that as my first pick. And
he's on my list, too.
Damn it.
I think he was he on you. Okay.
Yeah.
So not only do I think he was like a great actor, but like it's really the, I think this came out after, right after he died, was The Green Room.
Yeah.
That like horror Nazi punk band contained thriller thing. He's so good in that. And like, I always thought he was really good, but I thought that this movie was genuinely terrifying. He brought me through his performance. His character brought me through the whole movie. And so seeing that and then knowing I would not get to see him again in something this good was fucked up for me out of the gate. That's fucked up. He had just started, what horrifies me.
But he was doing like small indie films that were really impactful and interesting, like Green Room, which is a terrifying movie, and so contained that it's essentially a bottle.
It's like a bottle Nazi fighting
but,
movie.
So he had that on the one hand. On the other hand, he was in, you know, he was hitting big franchise stuff and the Star Trek reboot. So like his future was just so, you know, wide open.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great. He was tremendous. And the way he died is so fucked up.
Yeah, it's
fucking bananas. It's
hard to process.
Yeah. It's like it makes you feel horrible about liking the Final Destination franchise, cuz it feels like that kind of thing.
Oh god, yeah.
It does. All right. Well, that said, I'm going to go John Belushi.
he was on mine. Yeah, he was my next.
John Belushi was just so intense and brought something just really next level that is really rare for SNL performers. And a tremendous dramatic actor. I think he had so many sort of levels that we had barely seen. He was an intense guy. Obviously loved music and had a lot going on there. But he, you know, if you watch that documentary about him, he just had a lot of weird ideas and a lot of really real intensity and seriousness to himself as a performer. And comedic actors who take their craft in those sort of like artsy, jazzy kind of ways, really sort of go next level, you know. And he was so physical and just wonderful. And I think he would have, he'd be 71 now, you know, I think he'd still be doing really interesting work and probably a lot of dramatic stuff and probably, you know, probably theater and probably music. And I think he'd sort of be a Renaissance man, unlike his brother who just grows weed.
He's doing that, man.
Yeah, but I son of an immigrant. I really kind of worship his story and his particular sort of road beyond the one that took him to the Chateau Marmont.
Yeah, I agree totally.
Yeah, Skelton.
My next one on my list is also an original SNL cast alum, and that's Gilda Radner.
Oh, wow.
And you know, not so much for, you know.
That's a good one.
I don't think, you know, I think if she had lived, I think her career path, you know, would have led to some movies post SNL. But as it, you know, where we are today, I think there would have been more of a renaissance in TV, for her, maybe more so than movies. And, I don't know why I feel that way, but maybe that's just cause it's also like, you know, most of my, you know, memories are so indelibly marked by SNL and or TV characters. And,
yeah. I mean, she's what was so great about her, she was so silly. and not afraid to be just incredibly silly. And, you know, we talked about the Lauren Lapkus performance in The Wrong Missy, but, you know, there's sort of a lack of pure silliness in female comics or female comedic performances. Well,
she would have been brought onto 30 Rock for an arc. She would have been, exactly. Just the pure unvarnished silliness that is increasingly rare.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Yeah, I love that Lauren Lapkus comparison, because I do think she's very silly. I enjoy her very much.
Todd?
I guess my next one, because you stole Belushi from me. This isn't the game, right? This is just the theme. You're not...
No, it's not the game, but you're still losing. Okay.
my next one is Natalie Wood. Who's somebody that every time I saw her, I was amazed by it. Going back to her kid thing in Miracle on 34th Street, I'll give her that. But like as an adult, she was pretty amazing. And the fact that she went out on, you know, Brainstorm, in which she's very good, you know, and Walken, but, you know, it's not a great movie. It's sort of... It seems unfair that she didn't go out on something better.
Didn't Chris Walken push her off a boat?
No. He was there on the night that she fell off the boat. But so was her husband, Robert Wagner. And theoretically, he's the guy who pushed her off the boat.
Is he from Heart to Heart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did it for sure.
Well, his family produced a documentary that clears his name. So check that out, I guess.
Todd, if I ever kill someone and then die, will you make a doc that clears my name?
Sure. Why not?
Thanks.
I mean, will there be money in it? Like, are you going to leave me a sum of money if I complete the documentary that clears your name after your death? I will be delivered.
Yeah, I'll leave the budget for the movie and you can have whatever's left.
This is like sounds like a really overly complicated Brewster's Millions.
I'm going to go for sort of an obvious one because you stole Anton Yelchin. But that's one young River Phoenix.
I assumed somebody would pick him, so I didn't put him on my list.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of obvious in a way, but... You know, we're left with his brother, who's really good, obviously. I often think back to some of his performances and just how incredibly sensitive his portrayals were. You know, he had a James Dean-y, you know, to pick someone else who someone might pick quality, that he was funny. But he was also deeply emotional without being emo, without seeming sort of like indulgent about it. He was also really experimental. You know, I think coming from the Phoenix family, you kind of have to be. But he just had such an incredible presence. And, you know, even from his early work in like, what, Stand By Me and Explorers and
sure.
Then all the way to what was that movie? I Love You to Death. Was that what it's called?
With the Kevin Kline.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's not forget Little Nikita.
Little Nikita. Oh, was he in Mosquito Coast? Am I thinking of the right movie? No.
Yeah, he was in Mosquito Coast.
And Running on Empty, which he's tremendous in. So good in Running on Empty. He just. You know, he'd be an adult right now. I don't know what he'd be doing. He'd either be a big movie star or he'd be on Succession, you know, playing one of the adult kids or I don't know.
Or he'd be a full-on, like, Brando movie star, like, off the rails, you know, Johnny Depp type deal.
Yeah, I mean, sure. He may have gone out of control, but he seemed to have a pretty good head on his shoulder aside from what happened, you know, the drugs he was doing. But that's fame, baby. That's Winona, baby.
And that's being horribly sad, and you don't feel like that there's any other escape but getting fucked up. I get it.
Wow.
All right, your third skeleton.
My third is I'm going to have to dive into Marvel territory and say Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, for, you know, and he's somebody that it's like you actually kind of like when you go back, you know, through the, you know, years past and you start saying, oh, wait a minute, he was in that. Yeah. I was like during pandemic, I was rewatching Fringe and he shows up in an episode of Fringe. And so you're like, oh, right, he was there. And he's another type of actor that has this kind of really unique presence that is captured, absolutely captured by the camera in a way that it's just like you can't. That's something that it's just either part of your personality or not. And for, you know, and you know, when you're talking about kind of like the big temple stuff, like the Black Panther movie, the one thing in that really stood out to me was like the 10 minutes where the movie turns into like a James Bond movie in the casino, in that underground casino. And that's when I went like, oh, wow. Like, I kind of understood. It's like, oh, it's, you know, it's still, you know, heightened comic book stuff. But it's like, he's not doing it in a costume. He's not doing this. It's just kind of an action movie. And at that point, and in the whole handling of that scene and the whole sequence, like, oh, right. Okay. This guy is James Bond. He can be Indiana Jones. He could be Han Solo. He could be other Harrison Ford characters. Get off my plane. You know, he can do these huge, huge pop cultural kind of things that you don't really notice until it just suddenly shows up in your face. But then when you see like him as he's a little younger, you can see it in some of these like TV spots that he shows up in. You're like, oh, now I can see it. I didn't quite see it then. Didn't register then, but because he wasn't the focus. But it's like, you know, that the ease with which he kind of carried that movie.
Yeah.
The Black Panther. Like, just it looked effortless that he was pulling it off. And
Did you see Ma Rainey's Black Bottom?
Oh, yeah.
He's so fucking...
Yeah.
What and, a live yeah. wire.
And that, like, that's such a good example of why it sucks that he's not gone. Because these are the choices he was making. Right? Like, he was already sick doing Black Panther, which blows my mind.
Yeah.
But then he made artistic choices outside of the Marvel universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, no, but he had a clear, like he had a clear focus on
what he
the
wanted
types
to
of
do.
Projects he wanted to do. And, the Marvel stuff, I'm sure, you know, he was contracted for a billion pictures. Cause that's, you know, how they lock that down. But then he was, you know, he was also very clear, obviously very clear in his negotiations of, yeah, but I'm also going to do what I want elsewhere.
Right. Yeah. No, he is a good one. Definitely. Todd, who's your last? Sorry.
Oh my gosh. It's so hard. Cause there's two more names.
We'll have time. We'll have opportunities to talk about more of these guys.
If you give us a addendum,
if there's time for a bonus.
Yeah. There's time for a bonus. I got a great one, but I'm going to go with John Candy because
I was on my list.
Like, there are John Candy movies that I return to like almost annually. Certainly, you know, Planes, Trains is like a Thanksgiving movie that even if you don't watch it at Thanksgiving, you think about it. You remember a lot of the iconic scenes. And it would be really cool to have John Candy now, because I do feel like there wasn't another person after John Candy who was anything like that.
And yeah.
It, like his movies, whether they're the not as successful ones or the successful ones, all have this John Candyism that's so much fun to watch. You know, stuff.
Nobody could do like sincere comedic performances like Candy.
Yeah, you can watch Volunteers now and it's still not funny, but you can watch Volunteers now and enjoy it because John Candy. I'm not even kidding.
And he had a real old school clown persona. You know, he had a very clowny physical side, along with his more warm-hearted Midwestern, you know, John Hughes.
Yeah, no, later. he flipped that switch and go this couple of different directions. And they were both equally funny to watch, because that's what I always loved about the old SCTV show, was all the different characters and the different types of characters he would do. And like a sleazy, Johnny LaRue? The sleazy Johnny LaRue, like, just hilarious.
Well, imagine Candy now, like, in certain indie crime films or whatever.
Or like Coen Brothers, if he was a Coen Brothers guy, like Goodman.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Goodman, yeah.
Or I was Tarantino just thinking, using him.
John Goodman's performance in Death Sentence is great, but I just imagined, what if it had been John Candy? And that, I feel like that also would have been great in the grossest possible way. Do you guys remember that movie, the Kevin Bacon Death Wish?
Oh, God, yeah.
All right, for my last one, I'm going to pick another SNL guy, Phil Hartman. Phil Hartman was just, I think, one of the, top three favorite SNL performers of all time. 11 years, and then he went on to be Bill McNeil in News Radio, which is one of my favorite sitcoms of all time. We popped up in a lot of movies like Coneheads and Quick Change and So I Married an Axe Murderer. Obviously was one of the key players in the Simpsons universe, so would have been making bank forever. I don't know how much range he had beyond what he did, but he did so well that he would never stop working. And by all accounts, he was such a genuinely lovely sweetheart of a man, that it makes the way he died even more tragic and harder to take that he's gone. I mean, he was those guys who can do, 10 plus years on SNL, the utility players like the Keenans and him, and Kevin Nealon. I mean, they're invaluable. But he was just such a, Bill McNeil makes me laugh like no other character on TV. I think he would have done some really interesting shit.
He did stuff in movies that weren't good that made the movies memorable to me. For example, he was in the movie Small Soldiers, which was a DreamWorks movie about,
small
little
soldiers.
Toys that come alive. But he's like the kind of put upon dad, and all he wants to do is watch TV. And he's watching a World War II documentary. His wife is bored, and he just looks at her and goes, "I definitely think World War II is my favorite war."
He was so good. All right, we are going to kind of talk about these guys some more, and I'll get some extra names at the end. But let's move on, you guys, to Movie Jail. That's right. Oh my God. This is when we, the Film Pigs Legal Squad, we put a film professional on trial for crimes against cinema. And a judge rules on their guilt or innocence, and they're reprimanded to the Robert De Niro Federal Penal Multiplex or Multi-Universe, which anything you can think of to punish someone, it's there. It's like the Mall of America of jails. I think it's Skelton, right?
Yeah.
It was me.
It's Todd.
Hey, sorry. Shut up, everybody.
You're the bailiff.
I'm bringing the court to order.
I'm the judge.
There'll be order in the court. Court is now in session. The Honorable Judge Stephen Falk is presiding. Now you can talk.
Now you can talk.
I honestly.
Thank you, bailiff.
I thought maybe I was supposed to do a Nick Cage thing. Apologize.
There's no room for panic in my court. Please. Bring forth whatever matter you have in front of the court.
Your honorable judge.
I got Judge Shyamalan's third trial coming up after this.
Oh, boy.
I got a full docket.
Oh, right. We got to move. All right. I get you. I'm Todd Robert Anderson, Esquire. I'm from the appellate court. I think that the court.
You don't even know what an appellate court is.
Shut up.
They make apples, Skelton.
Gross. Oversight has left a man in our drunk tank for the last 10 years, and maybe he needed the first 6 or 7 to reflect on his guilt. But since 2017, I think he's managed to pick better projects, which was one of the main reasons he was sentenced in the first place. The other reason was to spend his money more wisely, and I don't know that the debt he got himself in will ever allow him to turn down movies like Primal, which is more like the stuff he's guilty for. But over the last number of years, he has provided at least one batshit crazy entry into the Bonkers catalog of Nicolas Cage movies per year. So my evidence starts with 2017's Mom and Dad. It's a bloody funny horror comedy about the world's parents being collectively possessed and wanting to murder their children. Right down to its dark ending, this is the kind of Vampire's Kiss type Cage stuff we fell in love with him for in the first place. Then, in 2018, he gave us the even more bananas Mandy, a revenge movie involving a demon biker cult. Like Vampire's Kiss or Bringing Out the Dead, we are treated to a batshit narrative backed by Cage's insane energy. The knock-knock joke he tells at the beginning of the movie is worth the watch alone. Then, in 2019, we got the return of Richard Stanley, who directed Hardware and then was fired from the Island of Dr. Moreau and never heard from again until 2019, with his treatment of Lovecraft's Color Out of Space, full of the Lovecraftian body horror, minus the bigotry, and deftly handled by a great cast led by Cage. Now, 2020, okay, it was not a good year for movies, and Cage's only efforts, which he usually churns out at least 3 or 4 titles a year. The only two movies he had were animated Crude sequel and Jiu-Jitsu, the more typical VOD-type piece of junk that got him into the trouble in the first place. But we don't count 2020 as a year cinematically, and it's not fair to do so. Luckily, this year, 2021, brought us Willy's Wonderland, about demonic animatronics in a shutdown amusement park trying to murder Cage's janitor as he diligently works to get it all cleaned up in between bloody fights with Chuck E. Cheese-looking motherfuckers. Throughout the entire film, Cage does not utter one word, and while that may sound like a gimmick that could only tie the hands of America's strangest living movie star, and perhaps of all time, it's actually amazing. So, these cinematic treats show that Cage, despite still doing shit like Kill Chain and Running with the Devil for his castles and Pyramid Tomb in New Orleans, is back to some artistic concerns, challenging roles, and most of all, making great entertainments regardless of their budgetary constraints. So, I am asking the court to release Nicolas Cage and let him move more deeply into his new stage of movie career, one that often feels like we're getting the young Cage we all fell in love with so hard that he wound up doing Con Air. That's my case, Your Honor. Thank you.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, get off Nick Cage. He's getting out of the drunk tank. Don't sit on him anymore. He's out. We need him.
Nick Cage is free. This is a very positive
that
episode.
That was the door. That was the door opening, you guys.
It was opening. It sounds the same either way.
It opened and closed.
Opens both ways.
I'm glad that Nick Cage is very far away from us, and we won't be hearing from him for a while. Yeah,
thank God for that. But because
wait, what is that, you guys?
What was that?
But I thought.
Oh.
Wait.
No. We should have expected this. We let him go.
Wait, there it is again.
It's because it's Nick Cage. We let him loose.
Oh, you guys. That's Nick Cage himself, newly freed. We just let him out. That's Nick Cage.
Why'd we do that?
That means it's time for the Nick Cage Memorial Bazaar line reading. This is when one of the film pigs puts forth a movie line reading from a film, which has a certain bananas quality that can stand head and shoulders or head and wig next to the great line readings of one Nicolas Cage. Mr. Steve Skelton, who do you got?
Yeah, I have a line from the 2021 movie Infinite, starring Mark Wahlberg as some sort of Highlander type jackass.
So bad.
And it doesn't make any sense.
Watching that movie very quickly.
The movie makes no sense. He's like a reincarnating asshole. But this is a part of the movie. This is almost, I got to say, this is almost kind of a opposite Nick Cage line reading, because it's the point in the movie where he decides to go along with the premise of the movie and go find out why he's an immortal jerk off. And he does it in like the most blasé, uninterested way. Like he's just got nothing better to do, so he might as well go do this thing. And so this is the last minute before that where he's just been followed around. I forgot who the actress opposite him is, where she's just goes to this laundry list of have you ever dreamed in other languages? Have you ever thought that you had dreams where you could do skills that you didn't ever really know, but you can do them? She sounds like she's asking him, like, you know, you may be entitled to compensation if any of these things.
This is the movie where he makes a sword in the beginning, and he's like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he makes a sword. Yeah. So this is the last bit of her convincing him to go in a way where he just kind of shrugs his shoulders at it. And it's so dumb.
The visions you've had your entire life, Evan, aren't hallucinations. They're memories.
So you're saying that 100 doctors are wrong. 50 medications didn't work because I'm really a reincarnated Russian blacksmith?
This is real. I'm real.
Oh, yeah? Well, this is no version of reincarnation I've ever heard of. Buddhist, Hindu, Sikh, they believe each life begins with a clean slate.
Answers you've been looking for all your life. All you gotta do is get on that plane.
You know what I'm really asking myself right now is, what if the craziest thing I've ever heard, and this is some crazy shit, is actually the first thing that's ever made any goddamn sense? I don't gotta go feed the cat, so let's go.
He says, I don't gotta go feed a cat, so let's go.
Was that
so?
Wow, that's some good writing.
Oh my God.
He that whole scene, he acts the shrug emoji and then gets on the plane.
I love that the screenwriter thought that if this guy like prioritizes feeding the cats, that'll make him endearing to the audience.
Exactly.
Yeah, old if trick. I had a cat, then I wouldn't go on this adventure.
that was amazing. You guys, I have something special for you.
Oh no. Oh boy.
Oh man.
That music makes my butt clench.
Guys, it's time for a pitch session.
Oh no.
Jesus. It's dead actor casting, you guys.
Oh.
I have amazing news. Scientists have figured out how to revive dead actors, and you're running a movie studio.
Oh, God.
You get to cast...
This is a gruesome movie studio.
You get to cast one of the following 10 movies, but only in one of your multiverses, because that's all that matters now. Be it DC, Marvel, Star Wars, Bond, Insidious, Mission Impossible, Jurassic Park, The Matrix, Men in Black, Transformers, Harry Potter, Fast and Furious franchise, whatever.
It has to exist within an intellectual property franchise.
Well, but you got to insert them into that, you know, they can make up a character. I don't care. I don't watch those nerd things.
Sure.
I'm just the mayor of movies. and you get 1 to 5 points depending on how on my whims. Let's see. What's
gonna
more
turn
likely
out
to make?
Great.
Yeah, what's more likely to make Todd mad? Todd, you go first.
All right.
Todd, I'd like you to, good news. I just revived Chris Farley. Put him in a multiverse.
Oh my God, wow. Which multiverse is best for Chris Farley? What will make him madder the
And they're
most?
In peak form. When we revive them, they are in peak form.
He's like peak
Farley.
He's Tommy Boy Farley.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the franchise that would be best served by his energy, especially now, like right now, the franchise as it is now, is Fast and Furious. You put Chris Farley in there. We've got the energy. We've got the energy that The Rock brought, like at the mid-level with like F5 or whatever it was. You put Chris Farley in F10, which, as if you know Doug Benson, you know it has to be called Fast 10, your seatbelt. You put Chris Farley in to sort of kind of take over where Tyrese and Ludacris failed as the comic relief.
Yes.
Because he'll be like the super desperate buddy who just like latched on. He just figured out that this is going on. He wants in. He's trying to get in. And then you can have the interplay with Chris Farley and Tyrese and Ludacris where they don't want to let him in to be the comic. And he's like a super outsider, but he's so funny and so full of energy that he.
Oh, and he's squeezing
himself.
into a little car to drive it.
Put him in a little Fiat or whatever.
Chris Farley in a tiny car. I'm in. That's 5 points. That's perfect. That's outsider thinking. Stu Skelton.
Yes.
Surprise! I just revived Andy Kaufman.
Ooh. Okay, Andy.
You get to put him in a multiverse.
In a multiverse. Now, wait. Were we choosing from the list of multiverses you gave us, or is it any multiverses?
If you got another one, go for it.
Because I don't remember all the ones you listed.
It's all right.
You know what? I'm gonna take a left turn with Andy Kaufman, and I want to put him in. I want to put him in the Insidious. Cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure which way to go. Oh, wait, I do. It's a series of movies where he plays a different character in each movie that is connected to all. Insidious is like the
nun and La Llorona and all that stuff, right? And the doll, Annabelle, and
The Conjuring. Insidious is its own other thing.
I meant the
dream demons, or is it the?
It's like a poltergeisty dream demons thing. Yeah, sure. Where one of the demons looks like Darth Maul.
Right, the Darth Maul demon. And so, yeah, I want to continue that series, but at the height of the I'm thinking maybe with Kaufman it's a trilogy of Insidious continuations where in the third one it's revealed he is that demon.
He's the Darth Maul demon?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you 3 points for that. I'm not sure that's using Andy Kaufman for his best stuff, but it'll be exciting. I would like to
see. Yeah, but he'll talk in his funny voice.
You probably should have put him in the Conjuring universe.
Todd.
Uh-huh.
Good news. I just revived Heath Ledger. Put him in a multiverse.
Oh shit. Fuck. Heath Ledger in a multiverse. He already is in one. So
well, there you go.
He's already in the DC multiverse. So assuming that his contract is still valid. And he'll be in the DC multiverse as Joker. I mean, why wouldn't he be? I'll also give him another franchise. sure. That's not that. And it will be the revival of the Monty Python franchise, because Heath Ledger was so good in that jousting movie, A Knight's Tale.
A Knight's Tale, yeah.
Which was funny with Paul Bettany being naked, and it was funny. So we do new Monty Python movies. I'm not saying we remake the Holy Grail, but we do other biblical stories, but where Heath Ledger is sort of in the John Cleese role. Because let's be honest, John Cleese has kind of become kind of a stick in the mud. And we want to have fun with these things.
All right. I think Heath Ledger probably had a lot of comedic potential. I'm going to give you 4 points there. That's outside the box thinking.
I'll take it.
Steve Skelton.
Yes.
Good news. I've just revived River Phoenix. Put him in a multiverse.
River Phoenix. He's going to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That's
five. Five.
Easy. Why don't you give me a hard one with a dead person who's been brought back to life?
That's what they set up. They set it up. Spielberg was genius. He set it up. He just didn't see the overdose thing.
Hey, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Good news. I've just revived Madeline Kahn.
Oh.
Put her in a multiverse.
Oh, my God. What?
I know what I would do.
Okay, I'm sure you do, but that's very hard.
You could trade if you want to pass.
No, I don't. I do not. What I want to do. So, is it a franchise? Like, imagining if a franchise is not still with us, it's sort of run its course.
Sure, like Lord of the Rings. It's
new. It's a new version of the franchise.
Sure.
Like that comes about because this person energy.
Is it part of the studio's IP, Todd?
Yes. I guess it is. I guess it is. Okay, so here's what I would put her in. This is going to sound crazy because I don't like this franchise at all, but I think that I would have loved it had she been in it, is the Hunger Games franchise. Because Madeline Kahn is perfect for any of the number of teachers in the Hunger Games there are that they filled with actors like Woody Harrelson and whatever. If she had been in it, it would have been fucking brilliant. Probably comedically brilliant, but also just like sci-fi brilliant on its own. So I'm going to go with that for her.
I think that's great thinking. I'm going to give you 4 points on that.
Thank you.
You know, I'm not sure we could have her sing, which is some of her funniest work.
I would have replaced Angelina Jolie and made her Maleficent.
Oh, that's really good.
That's very good too. Yeah,
that's really good.
It doesn't count for points because
no.
It wasn't your turn.
It really should though.
Hey,
no, it really
that was
should.
A five pointer. That's
really
a five pointer idea.
I mean, if we're gonna go there right out of the gate right now, Skelton, let's fight.
Hey, Steve Skelton. Good news.
Oh, great.
I've just revived James Gandolfini.
Oh, no.
James Gandolfini.
Put him in a multiverse.
James Gandolfini in a multiverse. Let's see. What would I do with James Gandolfini in a multiverse? It's not going to be mob stuff. Not going to be that. Too obvious. Not going to be cop stuff. That's also too obvious.
Not Terminal Velocity 2?
No, not Terminal Velocity 2. Let's see. I want to put him in... you know what, though? I do want to go action-y. I want to make him the new president in the Has Fallen franchise.
Ooh.
And he's the new president, but he's also an ex-military guy. So we got a little bit of the Harrison Fordy stuff. So he can get a little bit more in on the action than Morgan Freeman can.
He did something like that in The Last Castle, right? That Rob Lurie movie.
Oh, yeah. He was a little bit like
with
that.
With Robert Redford.
But I think this Has Fallen franchise, I want it to be more Air Force One-y, where the president is I've also had enough of this shit.
Yeah.
And that's exactly a line he'll say.
Yeah, as opposed to Morgan Freeman, who was just sort of along to hide behind things.
Exactly.
I just want to say, before you weigh in on the points, you have to knock points off because the Olympus Has Fallen franchise was mentioned and they're screwing Gerard Butler out of money.
I'm going to give
has nothing to do with points.
I'm just happy that there's going to be more Fallens because I love it. So has Fallen franchise. So yeah. You has got 4 points. hey, Todd, good news.
I don't feel like that. I think you screwed that up, man. But
hey, okay, Todd, good news. I've just revived John Ritter.
Oh, shit.
Put him in a multiverse. Todd's face right now is shocked, excitement, and the weight of this decision.
Oh my god! All right, so we're already aware he's in the Chucky multiverse. Yeah, we all know that, right? So there's no reason to mention that.
Or the problem child universe multiverse.
He's already in the problem child multiverse. all right. So I have to put him in another multiverse, not a multiverse he's in, or can can his resurgence revive a franchise?
Sure.
Okay. John Ritter's alive and he is Billy Bob Thornton's buddy in Bad Santa 3. They do crimes together in Bad Santa 3, but he's still a type A personality and you know, has trouble dealing with political correctness and all that. It's same character, but because he's been thrown out of his job, he's now a buddy with Billy Bob Thornton. Bad Santa 3. Bad Santa 3.
I'm going to give you 3 points.
Really? That's it?
A little less. A little for originality because he already played it. All right. Skelton, good news.
That's a fucked up judgment. It doesn't make sense.
That was a solid 3-pointer.
No, it's not consistent with your judgment in the past. I feel like you're making this judgment
I love how he's ahead still a poor sport.
No, I know because he's playing with me. He put me ahead so he could fucking kill it and then I'll be sad.
Good news.
Okay.
I revived Bill Paxton.
Oh
fuck you did you
hang you on I just want to be Paxton. Happy about that
put him in a multiverse.
Oh, Bill Paxton in a multiverse. Oh damn it, there's so many multiverses I want to put Bill Paxton in.
God, he's already in a couple, right?
I know that's the thing. I know what I'm doing. Bill Paxton is going into Star Trek. He's going to be the next captain of the Enterprise.
I'm going to give you 4 points. I think that's really good. That's solid. Yeah. I want to see him.
Because he's
black holes, you can't predict him.
I agree. He would be very good.
But Todd, he's also got the sincerity to pull off, you know, the Star Trek path.
All right, Todd.
Yeah.
Good news.
Oh, great.
I've just revived Raul Julia.
Oh shit.
Put him in a multiverse.
All right. He did great already in the Addams Family universe and the
Street Fighter universe
and the Rookie universe.
Moon Over Parador universe.
The Rookie universe. Moon Over Parador. Oh my god, what would he be good in, Raul Julia? What franchise, intellectual property, multi-universe situation would he... I know what it is. I'll put Raul Julia in the lead role in the new Ice Pirates movie. So he's the suave guy that Robert Ulrich was in the first Ice Pirates, but now because also we need to revive Ice Pirates as a thing.
All right. Well, I don't know if that was one movie, right?
Yeah, but it was one movie. It was meant to be more of a franchise.
I'm going to give you 3 points for that.
I mean, I'll take 3 points for Ice Pirates, and I think I'm dying on a cross here.
Steve Skelton, good news.
Jesus. I am Jesus to Ice Pirates.
Todd, good news. I mean, Skelton, good news.
Oh, great.
I've just revived Bernie Mac.
Oh! Bernie Mac and John Oliver were both on my list because I wanted them to.
Was Bernie Mac here we go. Shit that wasn't a multiverse ever?
Is
yeah, Mr. 3000.
Oh.
Let's see, Bernie Mac. What am I gonna put Bernie Mac? What multiverse?
Oh, back with Ritter. You could put back with Ritter and Todd's.
That's what I want to put them back together.
Yeah, you have to. It's the only right thing to do.
No, I don't know if I want to do like a maybe reinvent the Lethal Weapon cinematic universe with a more action comedy, but heavier on the comedy with both of them. As partners, I think that's what I want to do.
Who's he with?
John Ritter.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you took.
I'm gonna give you 4 points. Wow. It's a tie.
Great.
Everyone's a winner. 19-19.
There's no breaker.
No, that's it.
No, it's just good feelings all around, like
it's
usual.
Just
Todd.
Good feelings. Yeah. And
I like to win sometimes. Because I feel like most.
Oh, that
of
sad noise means it's time for the bottom five, and these are actors who were reported dead but weren't.
You did this whole episode for this.
Will Ferrell was reported to have died paragliding. He didn't.
When?
Jackie Chan heart attack. I remember that one. Russell Crowe fell off a mountain.
What? I don't remember that.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy snowboarding.
Really?
I do not remember that.
And Abe Vigoda for being old as fuck.
Yeah, well, that tracks.
Were you guys? Did you guys follow his website?
Yeah. Okay. Is Abe Vigoda alive? Abe Vigoda. And that's that calm that balm and salve means it's time for a moment of positivity. For about 24 hours last week, I thought Bob Odenkirk had died.
Oh, God.
Given the somber well wishes from all his closest co-workers. And that's what inspired this week's episode. I thought you'd take the one man to most dramatically transform his career from SNL writer to sketch performer. To dramatic Oscar winner to action star.
Yeah.
I thought he had then been punished for his from flying too close to the sun and his wax wings had melted and he died in Albuquerque. But he did not. He just suffered a minor heart attack and hopefully we'll get a nobody too. So I'm very happy about that.
I love that. I'm 100% on board.
Well, you guys, that was the Film Pigs. We are the only people talking about movies that matter. We love them. I'm trying to get Skelton's attention right now.
Oh, he turned it down. He did.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank Adam Blau, as always, for the music.
He's
the
Blau.
Best. The best.
We'd like to thank Ted Sarandos for making movies. He's kind of the king of movies now, like that Mark Wahlberg epic. My name is Stephen Falk. That's Todd Robert Anderson.
Hey, everybody. Stillwater sucked.
And that's Stephen J. Skelton.
Matt Damon doesn't know what bad words to not use anymore.
Once again, we are the Film Pigs. Send us your money, your thoughts, your money. Or your money.
Yeah, we don't
Venmo
know
us.
Your thoughts. Just money. We need a Patreon account. We can't.
We have a Patreon.
We need a Patreon account so we can depress ourselves when there's like no patrons.
Let's just make an Amazon wish list and watch it. Sit there.
And we'll put the link to that on our OnlyFans.
Bye, guys.